Good morning, Mr. Brady. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Did you have any inkling whatsoever in the week of practice, the day before practice, or the warm-ups prior to the game that that kind of offensive explosion was just about to happen?
Well, we always feel like we're going to do pretty well. You know, by the time the game comes around, we have quite a bit of confidence in what we're doing. And it was just one of those days where, you know, everything kind of worked out the way that we hoped it would. So it doesn't go like that. It really hasn't gone like that all season for us. But it was really a great time for it to happen. And, you know, hopefully we can gain some confidence. And going forward, we can really understand we can be that type of team that can make big plays, that runs the ball well, that can chew up the clock and be a ball possession team if we need it. But we took advantage of some turnovers and really answered the call, I thought, in the third quarter when they tied it up 24-24 and we lost our momentum and really, it was a great way to finish the game.
You know, Tom, as an overview to the untrained and naked eye, Gronk looked like the Gronk of old, a force of nature out there that provided matchup problems for anybody trying to cover him. Can you specifically say, as a quarterback, what his presence, when he's able to play like that and create those matchups, not only does for you as a quarterback trying to hook up with him, but for Amendola and Dobson and other receivers on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best players in the NFL, so you know, we really haven't had him for a long time, and we've learned to play without him. But it's obvious when he's in there, you know, he adds a different element to what we're trying to do, and that's why he's such a good player. So, you know, he worked really hard to get back to this point, and, you know, after he's got a few games under him and he's got his football legs back, you know, hopefully he can continue to do it. So it was a big spark for us yesterday, and he really came out making some really great plays on third down, some drive starters where we got things going into the drive. But he's a tough matchup because of his quickness and his strength and his size, and he's tough to cover. So, and when the extra coverage goes to him, it means there's less coverage on the other guys, which frees them up. So, you know, to get to 7-2 at this point has been pretty cool. To, you know, I know it hasn't felt that way, and we've been grinding our way out of these wins, but to be 7-2 at this point is pretty good.
Speaking of the other guys, Aaron Dobson obviously had a terrific game, and he talked after the game about you guys finally hooking up on the back shoulder throw, but I want to talk about the 81-yarder first. Can you tell us how that all unfolds, Tom? You come to the line, and you see they're playing the run, and what do? Wink at Aaron, and he goes deep?
Yeah, they were getting pretty aggressive, and we knew going into the game that, you know, they'd get aggressive at times, especially late in games when they got to get the ball back. And we ran the ball on the first play of that drive and gained yards to get out to the 19. We had our onside kick team out there on the field, and they kicked deep. And so we're kind of backed up in our own territory. And we called a play where Aaron had a, you know, opportunity to get down the field and make a choice. And, you know, it's one of those routes where he runs to the most open spot, and we talk about it, and it's really the quarterback and the receiver having to be on the same page. And, you know, I saw him take off, and he gave me some body language where I knew where he was heading, and he's really fast. So when he gets behind the defense, you know, it's really hard for them to catch him. And he tracked the ball, caught it, and finished the play, which was a great thing. So, I mean, that's hard to do for a rookie receiver, and he's been thrown into the mix, and as Ken Brell has and Josh Boyce has, and all three of them added something different to our team at this point. And we're going to need them all going down the stretch, because this is about the time of the year where you really see what the football teams are all about.
What if that situation had presented itself a month ago or 2 months ago, would Dobson and you have, would you have connected on that 81-yarder?
I mean, that's a tough question. You know, I'd like to think we always would connect. I mean, sometimes you just don't. You work on these things in practice, you talk about them, and look, the more you practice together, the more you're going to be on the same page. And it's always about the offense and the quarterback, receivers, tight ends, seeing things through the same set of eyes. And if I'm thinking one thing and they're thinking another, it doesn't usually go well. And so the more we communicate, the more we practice. I mean, that's why years of experience with certain players, That's why guys like Dion Branch and I had such a great connection, and guys like Wes and I. And, you know, we're trying to develop that with the new guys, because that's what you got to do in the NFL. And we've made some progress, and yesterday was a good day for us, but we've got to do it consistently going forward.
Does it feel like now, Tom, at least with Amendola back and Gronkowski back and Vereen seemingly coming back here in a few weeks, does it feel like you've got the team that you thought you might have, at least offensively, when the season started?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we all look forward to. We knew at the beginning part of the season there were going to be some growing pains based on, you know, Gronk being out and, you know, Danny getting injured in week one and Shane getting injured in week one. And we said, okay, well, we're going to have to figure out ways to win these games. And, we kind of did that. I mean, for the most part, we had a few opportunities where we didn't win, but we still had a chance. And now we get some guys back that we're really counting on to be big parts of our offense. So the other guys have done a great job in their roles. Julian, I mean, what a job he's done in the early part of the year, kind of carrying our offense, and what he did yesterday in the punt return game. And Ken Braille has made some big plays for us. He's going to need to make them for the rest of the year. Mike Hooman has done a great job for us at the tight end spot. So. And all the other backs have done really well. So, I mean, we're doing some good things. It's a matter of consistency. Now that we know we can do it and we proved to ourselves, okay, we're capable, now it's a matter of doing it every single week.
Tom, injury is obviously a big part of the National Football League. And I'm wondering what approach the head coach or maybe position coaches take when you lose some talented people on defense, just for instance, a Vince, a Tlaib, a Mayo, a Tommy Kelly. Is it addressed in any meetings, or is it like Parcells' old standby? If you're injured and you're not on the team, then we don't even discuss you. Do they address that in any way?
Well, I think there's, in the NFL, I think it's, there's, yeah, you're certainly disappointed when guys, I mean, go out with season-ending injuries. It's, those are guys that are core parts of the team, and they're, what they do in terms of dependability, consistency, that's why they are a core part of the team. But there's no real mourning period because, you know, no other team feels sorry for you, and it doesn't help you go, man, well, if only this guy were still here, still playing, and because, you know, every team's dealing with it. So I think that's what mental toughness is all about. The next guy has to go in, and he has to do a job, and he has to do it as well as he possibly can to help the team win. And that's why a team's built with hopefully good, solid depth. And the mental toughness, this is when the mental toughness really kicks in. When you're not feeling great, when the weather changes, when the games get hard, your team can go one of two ways, and it's either you get better and improve, or, you know, you head the other direction. And, you know, we've always done a pretty good job getting better, and that's really a credit to our coaching, because that's what we talk about in practice every day. So, yeah, we miss those guys. We miss them every day, and they're around to provide encouragement and support. They can't do it on the field for us, but they can do it in the meetings and mentally helping other guys get ready to play. But when the game comes around, you got who you got, and that's what you got to go with.
Tom, there were several instances of Troy Polamalu getting turned around, most notably the first touchdown, the 7-0 touchdown to Amendola, where he was wide open. How were you able to fool Troy Polamalu? Was it using his aggressiveness against him? Can you take advantage of the aggressive nature in which he plays the position?
Yeah, I mean, he's an aggressive player, and he moves at a different speed than everybody else. So, you know, I have so much respect for him and the way that he plays the game and how tough and physical he is. He's a great player. So he was in the middle of the field, and I tried to just look him, and you know, he went for the fake, and I came back and saw Danny running up the field. Mm-hmm. So that was a good way to start the game for us, especially after the drive where we got down to the 1 yard line and didn't get it in, but it was really a good way to start the game.
You're getting a lot of credit today or last night for looking guys off, as Dino points out, kind of fooling them with your eyes, which surprises me because Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu are veterans. They're both former Pro Bowlers. Are there some guys that you know will fall for that and some won't? Going in the game, do you know you can look a safety off or you can't?
Well, I think the most important thing is maybe not necessary to look them off all the time, but just not to look, you know, exactly where you want it. You know, if you just lock in on targets, I mean, those guys get pretty good jumps on you. So it's really just a matter of, I mean, you can look every safety off, truthfully. I mean, that's just, if a safety at some point has to decide, okay, he's looking over there. If he throws it, I'm screwed. So I better go get him. And then, you know, if you feel like you can take advantage of that, like if I know where I'm going to throw before the ball snapped, then I'm going to do everything I can to not look at where I want to throw the ball. Right. Like what happened on the touchdown to Gronkowski in the second quarter. You know, so I got up, the pre-snap said, okay, I know where I want to go. Let me just make sure I'm not throwing out. I'm just not looking over there. So, I mean, and he still got a good jump on the ball on that one, Troy. It was really close. So it's just a matter of not taking the ball from the center, dropping back and staring right where you want to throw. Because, you know, any good defensive team is going to be all over that.
You know Anthony Smith is not on that team anymore, right? But wasn't out there. Wasn't out there. He played like he was still out there. Hey, the Sports Illustrated did a fascinating thing a few weeks ago about the back shoulder throw. Long dissection of how to do it and what it means and how it's changing the game. And they went through the best guys. Aaron Rodgers was by far the best at the back shoulder throw. They didn't have you at the top of the list, and I assume it's because, you know, you don't emphasize it as much as some guys, and you didn't have the receiver, the veteran guy who was kind of on the same page as you. But how important is that back shoulder throw? Do you have to have that in your arsenal in this day and age?
Well, yeah, it's tough to defend. If you and the receiver are on the same page, and it's a really tough play to defend. Because, you know, the DB, when he has his back to the ball, he's just trying to play the receiver, but if the receiver's running vertical, if that guy's got a lot of momentum going in the same direction as the receiver, because he's trying to stay on top of the receiver. Because if he's low on the receiver, then you try to put arc on it and put it over his shoulder, and you know that's how you complete the pass. If that guy's running so hard where he's really high on the receiver, then you got a chance to put it on the guy's back shoulder, on the receiver's back shoulder, and he can turn quickly his head before the DB can turn his head and then make the catch. So, you know, a guy like Aaron who has good size, I mean, that's really the guys that probably have a better advantage because you can throw it a little higher or you can throw it, you know, they're just a bigger body. So the target is a little bit bigger. And, you know, the play Aaron made yesterday was a great catch. And, you know, you just try to put him in position for him to make the play, and he really made a phenomenal play. So that was a huge play there in the start of the fourth quarter.
You know, one thing we've learned about this commissioner, Tom, is that he's not afraid to punish people for things they did before they got into the NFL. With your confession this week of your days of vandalism in San Mateo,
yeah,
egging the town Halloween after Halloween, I'm wondering if you heard from the commissioner at all this week.
No, I was pretty safe. The statute of limitations ran out on that one.
Yeah,
so
you're safe?
Yeah, I hope so. That would be a interesting fine letter.
And the Cowardly Lion, huh? What was the backup plan for that one? Does Giselle call out who wears the outfits? Do you call out? How does that work for Halloween every year?
No, we kind of put it together last minute. So it was just a little rental costume somewhere, and she had one, and I was trying to compliment her. So,
hey Tom, I know that other teams look at film, and I'm wondering at what point will they realize that you are among the most effective quarterbacks at using the quick snap when you come to the line of scrimmage, most notably Ridley's first touchdown run of the day. Why aren't teams ready for that? Because you do it effectively and you do it all the time.
Well, they have to get their communication set. So it's one thing to know that we're going to go fast. It's another thing for them to get the call from the sideline and communicate that to their whole defense, and then get it lined up and, you know, try to stop what we're trying to do. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of teams know that we try to go fast and use a quick count, but there's a lot of communication on offense and defense. And offensively, you know, we kind of can set the tempo. So if we know we want to go fast, we can really take advantage of that. And the defense has to, you know, they need an alignment. They need to look for their keys and their cues on how to get aligned. So it's really a great tool for our offense. It's And when it works, especially like that down on the goal line, you know, it's sometimes you can get, not, I wouldn't say an easy touchdown, but easier than if you line up in the huddle and you know, you go in there and you try to figure out, okay, well, how are we going to block these guys? And sometimes if you can snap before they're lined up, you get a great advantage.
I can't imagine a better way to go into a bye week, or I mean, just a better feeling to have time off. And after that performance, will you get away? Will you try to get away from football? Or and if you do, will you bring some some tape on Carolina? Will you be looking at it on a plane if you're going somewhere? And do you expect your teammates to do that too?
Yeah, it's nice to get away for the mental and physical break. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but there's a lot of football going on still at this point. So it's not like, it's a holiday. There's a lot of self-evaluation that you do and trying to get ahead on Carolina and trying to get ahead on the rest of the schedule. So there's quite a bit to do, and I'm excited about doing that. It'll be good to evaluate kind of where we're at and where we can get better. And so now that we can get to the things that we have been consistently good at, and stop doing the things that we've been consistently bad at over the last 7 weeks or 9 weeks. So it's come at a good time of year for our team. Hopefully we can get healthy and be at our best here come November and December.
Tom, we end with the quarterback question of the week brought to you by Crescent Credit Union, online at crescentcredit.org. And the question is about second and third effort. We saw several demonstrations of that. Gronk on the 3rd and 7 where he got the first down. Ridley spinning 5-yard touchdown had a lot of second effort to it. And then most notably, Blount's second and third effort for the 5-yard touchdown. How does that kind of effort play or resonate in the huddle when somebody does something like that? Do guys get fired up when they see that kind of second and third effort?
Yeah, and that's a real, it's a team thing, but it's an individual thing, but it's a team thing. And, we talk about that when you get matchups on guys that, these guys, for example, they didn't have, when they used their dime grouping, when they had 6 DBs on the field, they weren't the biggest guys. So when Gronk gets those matchups on, Gronk's 265 pounds, when he gets a matchup on a 195-pound receiver, or on a 195-pound defensive back, he's got to be able to break those tackles. And if they put a big 250-pound guy on him, then Gronk needs to create separation where he can run away from the guy, and the guy can't be that close. So that's why, those bigger players like Gronk and, Steven is a really hard runner. LeGarrette's a big guy, 250 pounds. So when you get those weight advantages, that's what you do in football. You take advantage of it. It's inertia. So when you get that inertia going in one direction and the offensive line's pushing the pile and the running back's pushing, it's really that's where you get those type of plays.
Good stuff, Tom. Enjoy your break. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, guys. Thanks.